The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Welcome to The Bigger Picture. Well, 2018 was not a great year for small caps, especially many of them correcting over 50% over the course of the year. So is this a good time to start looking at this space? Well, according to RHB Research, the answer is yes, because many of these small caps tend to outperform large cap stocks in the long run. So to help us get a bigger picture, we've got Jarek Seat. He is the head of small and mid caps at RHB Securities Research. Morning, Jarek. How are you doing?
Good, I'm doing good.
Every year, you come up with this book and this short list of 20 small cap stocks that you think are going to be doing very well. So I'm going to get your help to run through some of these names coming up. And this small caps, just to set the context, right, Jarek, you feel it tends to be overlooked by investors because all these bigger caps, of course, get the headlines and you have more news around them. So they are more familiar with investors. What is the type of returns, actually, when you compare small caps versus big caps?
I mean, it really depends on the stock itself. For example, the returns varies from, let's say, you know, can go from 20% to like a few 100%. For example, I think we highlighted a Singapore Medical Group back in 2016, 2017. If you look at the stock price since then, it did very well. So it's more than doubled or tripled since then. So that, and then if you look at other stocks like Fuyu, for example, it did probably about 30-40% from then, from probably like 1-2 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah, so it really depends on the stock. Different stocks will give you different returns. And for example, like at the end of last year, we actually highlighted Silver Lake. Year to date, it's given over 30%+ returns.
Mm.
And then if you look at Memtech, which we just included into this year's edition, they just announced a privatization offer of 1.35, and that's like a 30%+ return. So it really depends on the stock. What I can say is that, you know, basically small caps is higher risk, but if you pick the right ones at the right time, it can give you very good returns as compared to large caps.
Okay, so we'll get into those stock picks per se for 2019. But first, 2018, how did you do for your 20 picks? You had names like Banyan Tree. That's not on your list anymore. So how did those 20 stocks perform?
Okay, sadly, 2018 was a very bad year for equities. I think in stocks in general, across the board, across the world, stocks did very badly. And especially in the small mid-cap space, where, you know, because investors are looking for stocks with liquidity. And sadly, when bad things happen, small mid-cap stocks generally did very badly because, you know, basically the liquidity is worse than, it's actually lower than the large caps. So for 2018, you know, a lot of picks actually did very badly, sadly speaking. But of course, we do have some bright spots like HRNet and Fuyu, who, you know, actually dropped less than their peers and also less than the other stocks in the region. So, you know, for 2018, I think it was a very bad year, but of course, then for 2019, it gives a very good opportunity for investors because all these stocks will then be trading at good valuations.
Okay, so buy low, sell high.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We are chatting with Jarek Seat, head of small and mid cap at RHB Securities. Jarek, let's walk through 2019's list. So I'm looking at your list. There's a sense that's a few more technology names and manufacturing names this year. What's going on? Why are they getting more attention?
Sure. Okay, when we were doing the book, you know, a few months back, basically the US and China, they're both close to agreeing a trade deal. Only until recently, right, that things started changing again. In 2018, actually, tech stocks, if you look, took a very bad hit as compared to the rest of the stocks. So manufacturing and tech stocks, actually, most of them actually corrected more than 50%. And as a result, then, you know, have been trading at very good valuations. So we do think that, you know, despite the trade war worsening, there's a lot of them actually have good privatization or M&A potential, especially, you know, by their larger competitors globally. And they are likely actually recovering from a bad year last year. Fundamentals are actually improving this year as well. So we do think that this sector still look attractive for investors.
Yeah, you mentioned privatization. Actually, one of the picks, Memtech, 2 days ago just had the offer to go private.
Yeah.
So a bit too late to jump on that one.
Yep.
You do have other manufacturing names. You're looking at Franken?
Yes, correct. So Franken, no, we've been following them for a while, but we think that this year is the right year for them because their industrial automation side will actually enjoy a bumper growth this year. Mainly due, they are doing a new factory automation for one of their key customers in the memory storage space. So with that, we expect, you know, net profit to actually grow 20%+ year on year. And if you actually look at valuations, they are just trading at 7x PE this year, you know, well below peers of 10 times. So we do think that this is one attractive one. Another one would be actually Fuyu, which we highlighted for a long time. But if you look at the founders, they are all 60 over years old, close to 70. So they do not have any successor. So we do think that they are just waiting for a right offer to come in. That would be the next potential one that will likely privatize, having a GO as well. You know, we do foresee that.
All right, Jarek, two names that stand out on this list, and they were APAC Realty and HRNet Group. So I'm just going to zoom in on HRNet. What is the case for HRNet? Because your stance is very different to DBS, which says the industry is going through a very challenging hiring outlook and it's not going to be good news for companies like HRNet.
If you look at HRNet, basically more than roughly half of the revenue is from Singapore. And it is true. I think what DBS said is true is that, you know, Singapore is facing quite strong headwinds in terms of recruitment. So if you look at their first quarter results, actually, they do have a drop in Singapore. Earnings from Singapore actually came down 10% year on year. But the bright spot remains for Hong Kong, China. For HRNet, they are still growing quite well in China. So we do see China picking up quite strongly in the next few quarters. And if you look at HRNet as a whole, they actually have a strong balance sheet of about $300 million net cash, no debt. So if you X out the cash, basically HRNet is only trading at about below single-digit PE, which is very attractive as their peers are trading at 20 times PE in Japan. One of their peers is TechnoPro, which they invested, is one of their strategic partners. So if you look at a company that gives you about 50 million of PATMI a year, which not many companies can do that quite consistently, for HRNet, I think trading at such valuations, I mean, it's quite cheap actually. And if they were to actually deploy their cash, which the management said they are actually looking into, deploy their cash to do accretive M&As, then you will see earnings pump up quite significantly over the next few years.
Okay, Jared, the other store is APAC Realty, which of course owns ERA Network for the property brokerage. So last year, of course, we had this debut for its listing at around 80 cents. Now it's around 52 cents. Why do you think this is the right time? Because 2018 was actually not a good year for its stock.
If you look back, 2018 was actually a good year until the cooling measures happened in July, right? And that was really unexpected. I mean, that hit property counters across the board. And I think the market didn't really expect it as well. So, you know, this is unexpected. I think no one in the market actually foresaw it. But, you know, with stock price actually falling so sharply after and at these levels, we think that at these levels, valuations are actually quite attractive. And we do still have the view that volumes for houses are still expected to remain resilient despite tough market conditions. So we do think that, you know, their results in the next few quarters should likely pick up.
So a proxy for residential demand and also is diversifying overseas.
Yes, you're right. Yep.
Okay, those are some of the names on Jerick's 20 names on his stock list. We've been chatting with Jerick Seat, head of small and mid caps at RHB Securities Research. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Jerick.
Thank you. Thank you as well.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.